So yeah, there's a short program at 12:30, Kendall said, and then after that, the food's served very short after that. Just a little missions update briefly this morning. We want to, you know, rejoice and support the McPherson family, who Chris has been with Youth for Christ, YFC, for some time, and is continuing to follow Jesus in much the same thing, but a little bit different way, and has been hired on as a police officer and going through the rigors of training and all of those things, and we just couldn't be happier. And they've struggled and wrestled and prayed through that, and it just seems to be a door that God is opening. So it doesn't mean we support them any less. It's just different. And so just so you know, when you're looking at once the budget and all sorts of things come out for missions next year, if you look and you say, don't we care about the McPhersons? Don't we care about YFC? Yes, we do. But we're working with some other families, just looking what, you know, what partnerships could we continue to have and support as well. So that's just a point of information. We couldn't be happier for the McPhersons. I trust I'll never get pulled over by him. And I think that the North American church, primarily, so our church, the church in North America, has a fundamental problem. I think we have a fundamental problem. Now, most of us who've attended church for some time, or even if you just, you know a little bit about church, you're in and out, and you can find problems with it. In fact, people who don't attend church can find problems. We can all find problems with the church, but I think there's a fundamental problem that I've noticed, and I started to pick up on it. Actually, Stephanie and myself, my wife Stephanie, I began ministry as a vocation, mainly focused on students, so junior high and high school students. And this problem became very evident as we were working with students. And we'd see them come through grade 7 and 8 and all throughout high school and out the other end. And this problem was apparent. And it wasn't that our events and programs and worship and teaching and Bible studies and missions trips and all this stuff weren't Jesus-focused. They were. We had a lot of good Bible teaching, a lot of good times. We built relationships. We did things that seemed to make sense and seem to be things that would help us grow in our relationship with Jesus and impact the world around us, to be on a mission, living a missional lifestyle, but the problem seemed to be persistent. And I've noticed it in our young adults and in our adult population. I think it's a fundamental problem for our church. Do you want to know what it is? Not yet. See, Paul dealt with this problem as well. And we're just heading into the book of Galatians. Into the most harsh book in all of the New Testament. So Joel, if you want to put the first slide up there, you can, just the title thing. And he was addressing a problem, and our series title addresses it, Jesus Plus Nothing. And Paul had planted the churches in Galatia. Galatia's a province, a Roman province, and a bunch of churches he had planted a year or two before he wrote this letter. And he saw this problem very clearly. And the main point of this letter is to address this problem. And if you haven't, if you weren't here last week, I'd encourage you just to go online, find the MP3 or watch the video, just to get some background to this book, because it's really important to understand where we're headed. Why did Paul write this? What's it all about? But this is the primary problem that that Paul wrote against. And it was in young Christians, young churches. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Galatians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 6 to 9. And we'll find this problem as we read. It's the most fundamental problem I think we have in the North American church today. And Paul doesn't mince words. Paul normally, when he writes a letter, he sends some blessing and some greetings. You know, if you write a letter, you'd be, hey, you know, good to, you know, I hope to see you soon. I wish you well. I hope you're doing okay. You usually start a letter or a card fairly nicely. And Paul doesn't. He just rips right in to the Galatian people. And he says, I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God. Well, thank you. Wouldn't that be a great letter to receive? Who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. So there, Paul had planted these churches, taught, and people came in. They were known as Judaizers. So they were devout, strict Jews who'd become Christians and made this kind of hybrid of Christianity and Judaism and had taught the Galatians that unless you follow the Jewish customs and traditions too, you're not a Christian. So they deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I say again what I've said before. If anyone preaches any other good news other than the one you welcomed, let that person be cursed. The problem that I see, and the one that impacts us possibly more than any other, the problem that Paul was addressing, the problem that keeps us from being the church God calls us to, experiencing what God wants for us, freedom in Christ, life by the Spirit, keeps people from church, keeps us from having a witness, and it is the fundamental problem, I think, of our day. We don't understand the gospel. We have almost no clue about what the gospel or the good news is. Even those who've been in church for some time, we can sing the words, we can say the words, we can read the words, we can even maybe have some competency, some of us, of what the good news of Jesus is all about. But I think most of us have no idea, and I can speak for myself as well. I'm learning and growing all the time in my understanding and ability to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is good news. The word gospel is used in the New Testament of what we believe. It literally means good news. And there are many people who don't see what we do as a church family, the lifestyle we live, our beliefs as good news at all. In fact, we've adopted another gospel, a gospel of legalism, a gospel of rules and regulations. We can say Christianity's not a religion, it's a relationship, but most of our lives are dead faith. We're drowning in our sins. We don't experience freedom. We don't experience joy. We don't get the gospel because the gospel is not just good news on how to begin to follow Jesus. It's the good news of how you continue to do that the rest of your life. The gospel is not something that's just preached by Franklin Graham in Toronto this weekend. The gospel is something that's preached in our hearts by the Holy Spirit every day. The gospel is the most important thing for us to understand if we're to understand how to follow Jesus. And so Paul says, I'm shocked that you're turning away so soon, verse 6, from what I taught you. So he would have planted these churches. And instead of ripping in on these Judaizers, the leaders who turned them away, he goes right in on the people, on these young Christians, on these new believers, on these new churches. And he says, what happened? I've only been away from you for like a year or two. How did you get so twisted? So twisted. Literally, it would be like finding out, what we say we believe in as a church would be something like this. What we say we believe is that we are followers of Jesus. But what they were doing was literally the same as saying, we're followers of Muhammad, but we just call him Jesus. Okay? That's the way Paul is seeing this. He's not saying, how have you followed this kind of sort of other way? He's saying completely other way. In fact, there's a scholarly debate on when he says, why have you gone another way? Some scholars say that word other just means like sort of similar. So it's like, I've got a certain breed of cat and there's another breed of cat. Still a cat. It's just different, right? Other scholars say the term is completely different species. You've got a cat and then you've got a whale. Okay, there's nothing similar there at all. And most believe that's what Paul is saying. He's not just saying, how have you gotten so far away from the Pentecostal teaching, or how have you gotten so far away from the evangelical missionary teaching, or how have you gotten so far away from the Baptist teaching, or how have you gotten so far away from the Catholic teaching, or how have you gotten so far away from the Protestant teaching? He's saying, how have you followed a completely different way? You're not following Jesus at all. You have no gospel at all. What happened? And then my favorite part, he rips it on the Judaizers. Let God's curse fall, verse 8, let God's curse fall on anyone, including us. So I'm lumped in on that. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us or even an angel from heaven. Those are strong words. Who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I say again what I've said before. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcome, let that person be cursed. Okay, so he dresses them, he rips in. This is kind of soft words. Right, we're reading this, we read nice words. When those who translate the Bible, you don't want to read harsh words. But I think if Paul were sitting right in front of us, if we really read into what he's saying, he said, I wish these people would literally go to hell. I wish they'd be condemned now, gone. May they be, you know, in fiery torment the rest of their lives. Go to hell if you preach something different, because it's that serious. If you preach something and teach something other than the true gospel, other than the gospel of Jesus, it's no gospel at all. And Paul had the authority. He could speak like that to those people because the gospel he preached, he received from Jesus. He was miraculously saved. A Pharisee, Jew of Jews, he kept all the rules and regulations. He persecuted those who said that Jesus was the way to the point of wanting to gather them up and kill them. And Jesus miraculously meets him on a road, blinding light, has a vision. Jesus speaks to him, gives him the gospel. The next moment he's out preaching. Just a few days later, 3-4 days later, he's in the synagogues preaching this good news. The good news of Jesus isn't that you have to go through courses or classes or know everything about the Bible to believe or follow Jesus. The good news about Jesus is that he sets you free. It's life and it's freedom. And Paul says, if you're not living life and freedom, you're living no gospel at all. It's not gospel. It's not even different. It's something else. When you line up the religions of the world, when you place Christianity beside those, it's not like those. Religion is doing something to get something. So you do certain prayers, do certain things, live a certain code of morality in order to appease a deity or get something in nirvana or heaven or whatever you want. That's religion. And Paul is saying, if you add Jesus plus religion, Jesus plus Judaism, in North America, what do we add in the North American church? We add Jesus plus sin management. We have very little victory over our own lives, and we don't walk in freedom, and we're miserable, and we have more than the rest of the world, and Satan's deceived us into this comfort, and we add all this other stuff to Jesus. And Paul says, you don't need anything else because Jesus has done it all for you. And he says to the Galatian believers, you're deceived. And he speaks very strongly. So reading that, they would have known what Paul preached, and they would have been able to think back and go, oh yeah, I think we're out of line here. We got to get back. We don't need circumcision and the law and all that stuff. And throughout the whole rest of this series, we're going to talk about what's the place of the Ten Commandments and obedience and rules and regulations and standards and obedience. There is a place for them, but it's likely not what you think. So they would have known that. We don't have the benefit of having Paul the Apostle plant this church, preach the gospel. We all come to know Jesus because of his preaching. We know what he teaches. So we really need to look into what Paul preached. If we're to know the real gospel, the true gospel of Jesus, let's start with what Paul preached. There are 12 times in the book of Acts that Paul preaches, 12 little sermons recorded by Paul. He preached lots more than that. But of those 12, there's only really one that he speaks specifically to Gentiles, non-Jewish people. And I'm going to make a guess that most of us are not Jewish here. So let's start with that one. And Paul is in Athens, and he's walking around and trying to find a way to communicate. And he starts debating and speaking with some of their scholars and the people who have philosophy. And he reasons with them and teaches with them. And he finds a way to speak to them. He sees a statue to an unknown God, and he says, I know what that is. And what we're going to read is when he's been invited to speak to this council, he gives a very brief understanding of the gospel. Let's look at it as framework or bones, right? Just the structure of the gospel. Now, before this, he taught and reasoned, so he'd answered a lot of questions. After this, he taught and reasoned. He answered a lot of questions. But this is just the bones. So he fleshed things out. He added the meat to the gospel on either end of this, what we're going to read. But this is a good place to start. So Paul, Acts 17, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I notice you're very religious in every way, for as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines. And one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm telling you about. He contextualizes it. He doesn't say, you're following, you know, all these pagan stuff. He's like, yeah, you know what? I know that God. Let me tell you about him. Here's what he says. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples. You can't just build a statue. He's not an idol. And human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He doesn't need us to do anything. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations through the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. First bit of structure for the gospel. There is one God, the God of the Bible. You need to believe this in the core of your being. You need to accept this as true, even to begin to follow Jesus. There's the first bit. One God, the God of the Bible, who created everything. Next part, verse 27. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring, we're his children. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver. Second part of the gospel. God wants to be in relationship with you. He's not far. He's pursuing you. He created all this so that you would come back to him. But you won't. So he pursues you. God desires to be in relationship with you. It's his purpose all along. Next bit, verse 30. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times. So even though people had, wouldn't confess that there's one God, even though they didn't realize he wanted to be in relationship with them, he overlooked it. But now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. So he's made clear how to come back to God. For he has set a day for judging the world with the justice by the man he has appointed. Stick a little note in there. By the man he has appointed, and prove to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. In other words, one God. God wants to be in relationship with us. But we chose our own way. In order to be in relationship with God, you've got to go his way. We chose our own way. It's called sin. But God made a way to come back to that relationship with him. It's by one man. And he proved who that one man was by raising him from the dead, even though he died on a cross, and his name is Jesus. That's the foundation of the gospel. And when he said this, many believed, but there are many others who mocked. Said, no, look, I've heard about that church stuff or that God stuff. I don't agree. And that's okay. But he continued reasoning with them. If I were to present the gospel to you, if we are chatting and you had some questions about Jesus and you want to know what I believe, and I'd likely invite you out for a coffee. So I thought we could do that this morning. I thought the best way to communicate and put some meat on the bones of the gospel is to sit down and have coffee. Barry Hummel, who was playing guitar up here this morning, asked, "Who are you having over for coffee?" And I said, "You." So I wasn't lying. He was a little worried there. So, let's imagine this a little. Hey, here you go. Come have a seat, Barry. Come on up. Here, let's do some staging here. All right? So, Barry, if you were... There's no water in there. Here. There you go. It's just water. Now you have a drink. I drank from it. Let's see if he does it. So, Barry, if I were to talk to you about Jesus, I like to go through Paul's teaching. So we've already seen the structural foundation of Paul's teaching. We built a bit of a framework. To put the meat on the bones, I like to use something called the Romans Road. It's just a phrase. But Paul writes a book to Roman believers. They're not Jewish believers mainly. And so they don't know much about the law, about the Old Testament. They don't know much about faith at all. And so through that whole book, he weaves this message and he lays out our faith very clearly. Now, we're not going to read the whole thing, but there's some key verses in there. And then I want to add some other things from Paul's letters and some stuff from John. So I just go through some of these in rapid succession with you and talk about them. For this morning, I'm not going to address each verse, but you guys will be able to see them each on the screen up here. So Romans 3, 10-11 says this. There's nobody living right, not even one. No one truly wise. Nobody seeks God. God seeks us 3:23, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. So God has a standard we're to keep if we're to be in relationship with him, but we've blown it. We went our own way. We didn't choose God's way. We're apart from him. Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. That's craziness. While I was still in my sin, while you were still in your sin, when we didn't even want to approach God, had no need for him, he came and died for us. He took the penalty for our sin, and we'll get there and explain that in a few minutes. Therefore, because of all this, just as sin came into the world through one person and death through sin, so death spread to all people because all sinned. So through Adam, Adam was created to be in relationship with God, with Eve, the two of them sinned. So for all humanity, we're separate. We chose our own way as a race, and God is continually pursuing us that we might come back to him. Following it so far? All right. Later in chapter, oh, there we go. Good man. You're wise. I have a wicked bronchial infection. No, I don't. Romans 5:15-16. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin. So what Adam did, there's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of one man, Adam, brought death to many. So death and sin and separation from God entered the world through Adam. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through the other man, Jesus Christ. So sin and death came through one man, but restoration, freedom, life came back through Jesus to put us back in the state we were created in the first place and blew it. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. They're not alike at all. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, led to death, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we're guilty of many sins. Even though we still bear the guilt of walking away from God, we've all chosen our own way. Romans 6:23, for the wages or the result or the pension of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Another translation of that verse says this, work hard for sin all your whole life and your pension is death. That's what you get, your physical and spiritual death, forever separated from God, apart from what he wants. But God's gift is real life. It's eternal life, beginning the time you believe, and it's delivered by Jesus, our master. So the result of sin is death, and Jesus took that death on himself. So how do you appropriate this? How do you go from death to life? How do you go from being separated from God into back in relationship with him? Romans 10:9-10 says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, so you believe all this stuff is true, and you start to try and live it, you'll be saved. For it's by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it's by confessing with your mouth that you're saved. There has to be some action to it. You can't just say, I believe in God, or I do this church thing. You have to live it out. You have to allow God to start to transform you. So we're going to jump from Romans for a couple minutes, but Book of John. John was a guy who walked with Jesus. So Paul had an experience with Jesus. John was Jesus' best friend. We know that to be true historically through the Bible, and he writes this. But to all who did receive him, so anyone who believes and receives Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This morning, we had a baby dedication, and Travis has been adopted fully into that family, and that's what that means. Anyone who believes, just the act of believing means you're adopted into the family. You're made new. You go from being separated to relationship with God. John 3:16-17. You might have heard this somewhere or seen it on a sign at a football game. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn it. Jesus didn't come so we'd have rules and relationship, or rules and regulation and all this churchy church stuff. He came so that we might have life. For God didn't send his son to condemn us, but to save the world through him. We're not setting up a new religion. He wants us to be in relationship with him, and that's a completely different thing than maybe you've heard of. John 14, he writes later, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. So there's no other way to get back to God but by him. And a lot of people say there's multiple ways to get to God or to Nirvana or whatever they think it might be. But there's one way to the one true God, and it's through Jesus, because he did for us what we can't do for ourselves. Ephesians 2, 8 and 10 says this. God saved you by his grace. So it's that gracious gift. When you believed at that moment, and you can't take credit for it. It's nothing we've done. God does it all. It's a gift from God. Salvation isn't a reward for good things that we've done. You maybe heard that. You think church, you know, you have to have it all together and you got to have good behavior and you really shouldn't cheat others and lie and do all this stuff. And God says, you know what? Salvation, being brought back to relationship with God, isn't about the good things you do. It's about what Jesus has done already. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us new in Christ Jesus. So we can do the good things he planned for us. So, you know, living as a Christian is going to mean your behavior is different. But it's not that you're different in order to gain God's favor. He will transform you, change your desires, and make you different. Your behavior will look different, but they're two completely different things. You try and be good to get God's favor, doesn't work. But if God transforms you, your behavior and your heart and your life can't help but look differently. Galatians 2:20, back to Galatians. My old self has been crucified with Christ. So the old you, the sinful you, the separated you from God, was nailed up there on the cross with Jesus. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christ gives you a new life. You get a new spirit. Everything is new. You're completely new. So I live this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law, if doing good stuff, being a good person, could make us right with God, Jesus wouldn't need to die. But Jesus did. Last verse. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Don't be tricked, no matter where you journey or where you go, that your behavior has any bearing on your status as a child of God or your salvation. So I want to do something with you, Barry, and I won't do it here. We'll look on the screen. But if I'm meeting with someone, I'm an illustrative guy. And what I want to do for you you guys this morning is give you something that in 2 minutes, you can explain the gospel to anyone. And here's the deal. Paul became a believer in a matter of moments. And over the course of days, God transformed him. And years, we'll learn that, his journey. We'll get into that. He began preaching and teaching right away. The moment you believe in Jesus, you can share Jesus with others. You don't have to wait for a course or to be commissioned by Country Hills. You have in you the Spirit of God, and I want to help you understand a way to communicate that. Now, you might not use this way. You don't have to use any way if you don't want to. Just share your life. But here's a simple way to communicate. So I would use a napkin, okay? So I draw us and God. The first thing you need to know about the gospel is it's life. There's one God. We saw this in Paul's preaching. There's one God who created everything and gave us life so that we might have life in and with God. But, next slide, sin, okay? Sin, we were separated from God because in order to stay in relationship with God, we have to do it his way. He created us and he's got good things for us. So when we obey him and stick with him, we experience all that. But he gave us choice because he's not a mean God. He's just, and he loves us, so he gives us choice. He said, you can go my way and experience all this, or you can go your own way. That's called sin, but you'll be separated from me as long as you do that. And so Adam and Eve chose sin, and that brought death. Now, that death and separation, it's a penalty. It's a penalty for sin, and death entered in the world then, physical and spiritual. Separation and sin can't be undone or removed by anything we do. A lot of people try and get to God. Religion, being good. Some people forget about God. We be our own little God. None of it works. Nothing we do can work at all. There's only two answers to the problem of separation and sin. There's only two options, okay? One is you're perfect. And so the one verse we read talks about God's holy standard. That's the Old Testament. There's this holy standard of how not to sin. And if you obey that perfectly, then you don't receive death. That death doesn't come. That's the punishment for sin. Spiritual death, forever separated from God. So either you're perfect and you never sin, so you never have to receive death, or you receive death. There's only two options. Either you die eternally and receive the punishment for your actions, there's consequences and punishment there, or you didn't do it in the first place. Fourth one is Jesus was a substitute for us. See, he stepped in that place. And he didn't just live a perfect life. answer one to sin. He lived out answer two to sin, and he received the punishment for death. Because Jesus was perfect, it meant he didn't need to receive the punishment for sin. That's just crazy. You're a police officer, you know that. You would not be able to arrest me for murder right now, at this moment, because I haven't committed murder at this moment. They all see I'm not killing anyone right now. I don't deserve the punishment for murder because I didn't do murder. So Jesus doesn't deserve the punishment. He's free. He is the only person who never needs to pay with death. But because he did that, because he doesn't have his own debt to pay, he can step in our place and become a substitute and take upon himself the punishment, the consequence for sin, which is death. And he did that. And he died on a cross to take on spiritual and physical death for us. And it's in his death that there's forgiveness for sin. Jesus doesn't just cover our sin, he completely deals with it. It's done. Past, present, future, Jesus died for sin for everyone, not just those who receive him. That's our next thing. Next slide there. Freedom and new life. The way you come back to God is that he's pursuing you the whole way. Everyone has the offer of salvation. Everyone has the offer of freedom and new life. But only those who have faith and believe and take that choice actually are brought back to God. It's God's doing the whole time. Jesus did it. Jesus did it. Jesus did it. Jesus did it. It's nothing I do. I can't be good enough. Remember that one where the arrows were the other way? None of my good behavior, good actions can bring me into relationship with Jesus at all. We're back in relationship with God. It's everything he's done, and it's a free gift. And I need to simply believe that and receive it. And finally, here's what he does. Identity. I didn't know how to show identity. There's, do whatever you want. We get a new identity. See, here's the cool thing. Every other religion, you stay the same, right? You stay the same. You just, you know, one day you're agnostic, and let's say I choose to be a Buddhist, and I take on all the Buddhist teaching, and I do all the Buddhist things. I'm still the same person. I'm just doing some different things. With God, he gives us a new identity. And the Spirit, his Holy Spirit, who raised Christ from the dead and created everything and put this whole plan into place, comes and lives in me. That's his plan all along. What God wanted wasn't just to be up there and us down here and we do all this stuff and sing and be nice people and then he's pleased with us. That's not it at all. What God wanted all along was to be intimate, close with us. And doesn't just walk beside us like Jesus the man did. He comes and lives inside us. And so my behavior becomes different. If I live out of a different identity, my behavior's going to be different. If my identity is caught up in being, you know, one way, and then my identity is different another day, I'm going to be different. If my identity is a 13-year-old girl from Sri Lanka, okay, I'm going to behave a certain way because I've got a certain, you know, upbringing and behavior. If my identity in my past is rooted in the fact that, I'm a 65-year-old Russian who worked in coal mines, right, I'm going to behave and act differently. I'm glad that you didn't smile. I don't look like a 65-year-old Russian coal worker or like a 13-year-old Sri Lankan girl. But our identity is completely different. And so if all of this stuff is true, if this is true, if the gospel is true, and if the Holy Spirit is working on your heart, if you're sensing something different and you know in your life God's been doing things, there's really only three options for us. There's two options if I was meeting over coffee. You either reject it or you accept it. But for us, I want to give us three responses this morning. The first one is have faith and follow. Okay, the Bible says if you believe this, you're made new. See, often we want like Christianity 101 or altar calls, or we've got to do something significant. We've got to confess all our sins. We got to run. You'll never remember all your sin. I don't care how long you're at an altar. You would never be able to confess it all. It's in the believing and confessing sin in general. I am sinful. I have gone my own way. It's in that belief that you are forgiven. And it's in the living out that you're set. So have faith and follow. Believe it. There's a guy in the Bible, Zacchaeus, little man. He was a tax collector, wicked man. And when we see him begin to believe in Jesus, he doesn't attend church. He doesn't really do anything yet. He just has Jesus over, but he saved. And so it's that moment of faith. And then you begin to follow. And following doesn't mean that you have it all right away. God will bring actions and behaviors and things up as you grow. Because as we do need each other, we need church, we need teaching, we need all this, but it's so we can support each other and help each other grow. We hold each other accountable and rejoice when we have victories. Because if we have the Holy Spirit inside us, we are transformed. And that's number two. Okay, so the first one is have faith. So if you've never believed in Jesus, if you've never begun a relationship with him, if you are separated from God, I encourage you to look into this. Talk to me, to believe. You don't have to come to the front. You don't have to do anything special or magic. It's that heart belief, having faith that this is true and God will do the rest of the work. But you need to be telling others and getting some help on your journey. That's why we gather as a church. Secondly, be transformed. Some of you have begun a relationship with Jesus, but you're not very transformed, and you're not experiencing life and freedom. The gospel is about life in God and freedom. It doesn't mean you get everything right. It doesn't mean you're made perfect right away in your behavior. But you have the full righteousness of Jesus. When God looks at you, do you know what he sees? He doesn't see a sinner saved by grace. If I hear that phrase one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. We are not sinners saved by grace in Christ. We are not sinners at all. We are saints. That's it. There is no more sin. Because Jesus died and rose again, sin and death are there in the grave, gone forever. If we sin, if we do the behavior of sin, have sinful thoughts, sinful behavior, it's just living our old identity out. It's this flesh thing that we don't even need to do anymore because we've been made new. Be transformed. You have the Holy Spirit inside you. Ask God to do the work. Here's the fundamental problem with those who are believers in the church. We understand the gospel as, I need to have faith in Jesus. And it's all Jesus doing, coming to know him and beginning a relationship with him. But then once we cross that line of belief, it's all my doing. I've got to stop smoking and do better and go to church and be a good person, da 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 da, blah, 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 blah. All this behavior. And God says in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, the righteous will live how? By rules, regulations, behavior? No, by faith. And if you live by faith, and if you ask the Holy Spirit to change you and transform you, guess what? All the smoking and all the blah, 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 all the behaviors will fall in line eventually too. God's not waiting for you to get it right with him. You've been made right already. So be transformed. Be free. Live it. Ask him to do the work. And you'll experience it. That's what he wants. And the third thing is, if you are living transformed, if you're experiencing freedom, if you're a believer in Jesus, God wants you to tell others. The church is in place, yes, to be the primary means by which the world hears about him. But the church is people, not the gathering. Okay? So I want you to bless others. So here's a quick little thing. We've talked about this for about a year. I stumbled across this last year in an ebook. Such a wonderful thing. If you want to share the gospel with others, here's a good way to start. Okay? Bless. You can all remember that. Begin with prayer. The Holy Spirit does the work. Not you, it's not your words, how much you know, what kind of, you know, illustration you could do on a napkin. It's the Holy Spirit. Pray for the people around you who don't know Jesus. Let God do the work. You get out of the way, and you just be there when he has you there. You say what he will. You begin with prayer. Unless you pray, things don't happen. Listen, don't go preaching. Please don't go preaching. Don't look down. Don't be judgmental. Don't be holier than thou. Listen. Listen to people's stories. Listen to where they are. Listen to their heart. Get inside their head. Empathize with them. They are God's creation, and he loves them deeply and wants to be in relationship with them. Give them the courtesy of just respecting them as people. Listen. Then eat with them. We've lost that as a North American people. We don't know how to eat. I hear about Europeans and they sit down for hours and eat and you find out about eat. If you don't like to invite people in your house or you don't keep it clean or whatever, you're busy, go to a restaurant, have coffee. I spend most of the time I talk with people at a coffee shop outside the home. out for a walk, doing whatever. Eat. Find an excuse to be with people where it's not awkward to talk. Because if we didn't have coffee in a coffee shop and stuff, and you and I just kind of sat in the middle of my office and I hammered things, it'd be really uncomfortable. But this gives us something to do. It opens others up to our life. Then serve. Look for ways to serve others. Look for ways to serve others. How can I get in someone's life and show them that I care? Andrew said that in his prayer. You know, St. Francis of Assisi, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Fix a fence. Call a neighbor. Bring a gift. Do something. Serve. Then share your story. There's two stories you need to share, and it's usually best to start with yours. If you don't have the Romans Road or a napkin, or you're sitting there going, I don't know the gospel that well, you have the gospel in you. You are the gospel. And you have everything in you and your story that you need to share with anyone about Jesus. And if you need help on anything, you have a church family you can call, text, message, whatever, in a moment to get help with something you don't understand or someone's question. You are not alone, you're not stupid, and you're not unequipped to share the gospel with others. Share your story, but make sure your story always points back to the more important story, God's story. So if you've never begun a relationship with Jesus, I want to encourage you to do that. And I encourage you to hang back a little bit this morning in our service. And I'd love to talk with you, chat with you. There are others who can do that too. Those of you who need to get up and get going to help the barbecue, you do that too. If you haven't been transformed to the extent that the Holy Spirit really wants to, spend some time with God this week. So many Christians just forget that, you know, we feel like Bible reading and prayer and devotions and all this stuff is another list of things we have to do. And it's a privilege and an opportunity. It's what gets us transformed. Spend time with God. It's not a burden. How do you get a passion for reading the Bible and praying? Start to read the Bible and pray. And guess what? God puts that passion in you. It's not about what we do. It was never about what we do. It's all about what he's done and continues to do in us. And wherever you can, and there's some families here who are doing it phenomenally, bless. Begin with prayer. Listen. Eat. Serve. Share your story. Paul freaked out. He lost his mind when he was writing that because he was so angry because the gospel that people were living out was no gospel at all. Jesus plus anything is not the gospel. It's all what he's done. It's all what he continues to do in and through us. Jesus plus nothing. I've taken up way more time than I intended to this morning. So I'm just going to ask the worship team to come up. You guys can play us out this morning. We won't sing along. And I'm going to pray. And thank you so much for being together this morning. Thanks, Barry, for being. Let's give Barry a hand.
Remember, this isn't the only one that can pull you over.
That's not comforting at all. He said, Chris is not the only one who can pull me over. So that's great. That's good. It's great to have police officers as friends. Why don't we stand this morning? Thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here today, for listening. It's my intent and my passion and my heart that you would know Jesus and you would be set free and you would experience gospel every day. So let me pray for you before we go. If you don't have plans after, please, please, please come down to the park, just to be in our community. This is not a lunch us to them. This is a lunch us. It's us, all of us. This is eating with. So there, I gave you a jump start. You get to eat with others in that blessed thing. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you sent Jesus. You did all the work we need. And as we continue through the fall and through Galatians, as we have relationships around us, people who don't know you, I ask you continue to plant seeds through us. Give us openness. Give us open ears to listen. Give us sensitivity. May we understand the freeing life gospel, not some hybrid. Work that in us. May we live it out. We praise you. We thank you, Jesus, for not only dying for our forgiveness, but rising for our life so that sin and death are dead and put away as we sang this morning. Give us a wonderful afternoon. Give us safety. Give us words to speak. May we be ultimately welcoming to everyone we meet. And give us a wonderful day as our hearts are focused and stayed upon you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Lord bless you as you go. See you at the park.
We're just going to sing Lay Me Down as you go out. Feel free to celebrate with us in that.
Your way, it will be my joy to say.